some children who probably would have died a few years ago. Because of one doctor, they are living, hopefully. That is, full of hope.
Good. Smell this one, Daddy. Smell this one.
Want to go get a bite
now? It smells good, but it's all wet. It made my nose wet.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make his knees.
It doesn't.
If you're going to have children, it's like potluck. You have to be able to accept what you're going to get.
You would hope for a normal child, you wouldn't have these problems, but we would do it again in order to have a child like Susie.
Joyce and Monty Mace had scarcely heard of spina bifida until little Susie was born. Born at a hospital where doctors didn't believe in treating spina bifida. Susie might have died if her parents had not insisted on a second opinion.
We were led to believe she was paralyzed from the waist down. She would never walk. We got to Children's and spoke to Dr. McClone. This wasn't the case at all.
Let me just go take a look at him and talk to the family.
Hey, I guess Mom said Dr. D'Angelo.
The Maces sought help from Dr. David McClone, chief of neurosurgery at Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago, and a leading expert on spina bifida.
It is the worst birth defect which is compatible with survival. The child is born with multiple systems involved.
Right? Do you think so? Yeah.
Spina bifida is the second most common birth defect behind cerebral palsy, and it is the worst crippler of children. More than 800 children, almost all of them the surgical patients of Dr. McClone, come to Children's Memorial for periodic checkups. Susie Mace is waiting. And Michael Mings. And Samantha Brooks. And Stephen Prokopek.
They have problems with their brain because they have hydrocephalus. They have problems with swallowing. They have problems with breathing. They have problems with their spinal column because part of it's missing. They have problems with their spinal cord because it's exposed to the outside world. They have paralysis in their lower extremities. They have bladder and bowel problems. And so when you're done looking at it, just about all of the major systems of the body are somehow affected by this disease.
See the bones on the backs of his spine, right here it stops,
which
is typical, and they're gone.
Doctors know that spina bifida develops during the first month of pregnancy. But what they don't know is why. Hardly a day goes by when David McClone isn't asked by someone, just what is it?
This is what the most obvious thing that we see when a child with spina bifida is born. A part of the nervous system, the spinal cord, which comes down here, is actually on the surface of the child, and this piece of tissue represents the bottom end of the child's spinal cord. And this is the spinal cord comes down, and instead of coming down as it normally should and be covered with bone and skin, it is herniated up, or it is outside the child's body, on the sac on the child's back. What we do at surgery is take this spinal cord, which is herniated out of the child's back, put it down in the normal canal, close the muscle and bone and so forth over the back, repair the skin, and so that the child ends up with no lump on the back and usually a very fine scar down the middle of their back.
Boy, you're getting a nice tan. You look great. Can I see your belly? Let's see how you're doing.
We hear more about spina bifida. We see more of it because more children are now surviving the disease. In the 7 years since McClone and his team have been doing the surgical procedure, the hospital's spina bifida mortality rate has plunged from 50% to less than 10%. As recently as 1950, most spina bifida babies were left to die. That is, doctors didn't know how to save them. But even with the progress that's been made, the promise of a better life does not come easy for these children. Week after week, month after month, they must return to the hospital for operations, checkups, therapy, and more operations. Crippled legs always will need new casts.
Oh,
or redness or...
In this child's world, there are setbacks.
Well, why don't we bring him in the hospital and be real aggressive with this and get him cleared up, and then as soon as he's clear and everything is fine, go right on with the surgery.
You're going to have to come to the hospital to get your back cleared up, okay? In a couple days. Mom and Dad will come with you, okay?
It'll be fine.
Most spina bifida children need periodic surgery to correct orthopedic problems and to control an accumulation of fluid on the brain. Dr. McClone inserts a thin tube beneath the skin, extending from the brain to the abdomen, which allows the fluid to drain. The tube is a lifetime requirement.
Is she staying dry?
Pretty much.
Okay. How long do you think she can stay dry for?
Sometimes 5, 6, 7 hours. Sometimes she's gone all night.
Okay.
But with all the ups and downs, the payoff is progress. And so it is for Susie Mace. As with other spina bifida children, the nerves controlling Susie's bowel and bladder were damaged at birth. But the clinic's urologist, Dr. William Kaplan, is pleased with her progress.
How would you like to not come back for 6 months?
Oh, would that be terrific?
Huh? Who gave you these rings? Do you have a boyfriend? No?
Oh.
Are you sure?
A couple of them.
Okay. You're teasing. Okay. Well, she doesn't need to come back for 6 months, and
you do.
Oh, that's good.
7-year-old Michael Mings got good news, too.
If we see him in 6 months and there are no problems, then we may start talking about yearly visits. He's getting up there for me, and he's doing real well.
Oh, gee, Michael, that's good news, huh? 6 months.
In this child's world, the inspiration comes not only from doctors.
I would not trade him for nothing in this world, and it is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of time consuming. But, you know, hey, look, we wanted him, so we're going to take care of him.
She's mine. And I love her just like I do my other four. In fact, she's a little more special.
We knew before that she was born that something was wrong. We didn't know what was wrong. But we made up in our mind that whatever God gave us, that we would love it.
Ongoing research has led to detection of spina bifida before birth, giving parents the option of abortion.
It's difficult. I always tell the parents that. I don't want to say that it's easy to raise a child who has a spina bifida or that it's easy to be a child who has spina bifida, but we have 800 families here and 800 children, and they're all doing it, and they're doing it beautifully. And so it can be done, and it isn't an unpleasant thing to watch. In fact, it's a very rewarding thing to watch. These are by and large, happy kids who are growing up. They've got more problems than most of us had to endure, but they're handling it very nicely. If the parents care about that child, then in spite of the problems the child has, he has a real shot at being independent and competitive.
She seems to have quite a way with language. I hope she can learn a foreign language.
She's great intelligence. She has ambitions. She wants to be a tap dancer, a doctor, and a nurse. And I think that she probably has enough stick-to-itness and ambition to accomplish these. Little minor problems that we wonder about sometimes teenage years when girls are so sensitive and going to dances and fussy little hygiene type things and peculiarities and if kids are going to laugh or what's going to happen. Those kind of things you always think of in the back of your mind. See a bunch of teenage girls walking down the street and having fun and all. And you think, you know, is she going to fit in with this type of thing, or if there's going to be any kind of special emotional problems?
Despite the medical progress that has been made, untold numbers of newborn children still are not treated for spina bifida. Some doctors are convinced such children are beyond physical repair.
I certainly know that in Chicago that there are babies that die every year. I know that there are other major cities in the United States where children are left untreated. Physicians are making decisions not to treat certain numbers of these children based on a criteria which is invalid. They are assuming that by examining a newborn child, they can predict the quality of life or how independent or how productive that child is going to be, how much of a stress is that child going to be on the family, and on how much of a burden on society. They make all of these judgments based on that initial exam, and almost every one of the criteria that they use to make that judgment are invalid.
This is tight.
It is, for David McClone, for his colleagues, and for the parents of these children, a fact of life that spina bifida babies are not doomed to retardation or total disability or spinal damage beyond correction. It is just one reason why parents seek publicity for the Spina Bifida Association of America and why the children pose for pictures, handicaps and all.
Most people probably have no idea what muscular dystrophy is, but they know it's a horrible disease because Jerry Lewis is out there raising money for it. Spina Bifida kids have nobody to raise money for them. That's why nobody's ever heard of it. There's no big name associated with it. It's the second most common defect, but nobody realizes it.
We're going to take a look at that.
And the man whose expertise helped save these little children can't help now but wonder if in later years society will be ready to accept them as adults.
I'm very much involved in making sure that habilitation and rehabilitation of spina bifida individuals is advancing, because that's really the hope. If I have preserved 1,000 children who are all going to sit in wheelchairs in nursing homes with normal intelligence, and the vast majority of our children have normal intelligence now, if that's what I've done, I've created a nightmare. But I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, you guys will go up.